All right, if you take your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And this morning, just thankful that we're able to be here and worship together. And Brother Hallman, I wonder if you could do me a quick favor. Could you do the lapel 2 level? Just bring it down just a little bit for me. Thank you so much. All right, so we're running a little short-handed here with some of our sound staff and things like that, but that's no problem. But we're just thankful to be in the house of the Lord. And welcome to those watching by way of the live stream. Just saw that we have quite a few states represented, Oklahoma, Washington, Virginia, and different places like that. And thank you for watching this morning. And as we mentioned during the announcement time, this morning is, bring it down just a little more. A little more. Right there is good. Thank you. All right. We mentioned this morning that we are going to be all day today looking at how to what revival is and how to prepare for revival. This morning, I just want us to understand something. I think we've all maybe looked at the news reports, and I'm not into all of the hysteria that people are being worked up into. However, we cannot deny the situation that we have found ourselves in. That the literally most of the world, over, I think it was over 2 to 3 billion people, are sheltering in place right now somewhere in the world. Whether you live in Canada or live in the United States, in China, or wherever, that this has a real effect on people. This pandemic, and that's exactly what it is having a real effect on our nation. Our economy has ground almost completely to a halt. That though the sporting events have been canceled, everything that is normal about American life has been changed. And the reality is, I know a lot of people have a lot of different opinions about this, but I'm going to tell you something. People are dying. People are afraid. People are anxious. But what are we to do as God's people? I firmly believe that God wants us to seek Him. God wants us to seek His face in prayer. He wants us to seek His face in humbleness and contriteness. And this morning we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verses number 13, 14, and 15. But I want us to look at this in just a moment. Now, a lot of us have heard these verses before and have looked at them, and there is a promise given here for the nation that will turn to God. Now, unfortunately, many times we hear the messages preached, but it is not given the context of why this is said and the context of this, and we're going to look at that. And we're going to look this morning, if we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to begin in verse number 13, going down through verse number 15. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing before we continue this morning. Oh, Lord God, we have a need as your people. We have a need as a nation. And Lord, we need to hear from you. We need your power. We need thy Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts this morning and tonight and all week, Lord. And I pray that we would do a self-examination, that we would look at our lives, that we would look at what revival really means, that we would look at the condition of our spiritual life, that we would look at the condition of our church, and that we would be honest with you, dear Lord. We need you. We need revival. I need it, Lord, and I know our church does. And I pray that you, dear Lord, would be glorified in all that is said today. Give me exactly the words that you would have me to say. And Lord, I cannot give power to words, but you can. And I pray that thy Holy Spirit would penetrate hearts today, whether they be here in the auditorium or far away, thousands of miles away. Lord, we're so thankful that we're able to live stream. But Lord, you can touch a heart anywhere, anytime, any place. And I pray that you would work among us today. Lord, we need this time. And I pray that more preachers and more God of your people would seek your face and pray. I know many faithful people are, but Lord, I pray that we would not stop taking this lightly and we would stop taking this as just a time of rest. It is, dear Lord, but a time of working, of spiritual work. I pray that you would help us and that you would guide us. Give me the words, give me the power to preach, dear Lord. Give me the unction to function this afternoon, and that you, dear Lord, would be glorified in all that is done here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we see in these verses that God appears to Solomon in a dream, and he is giving a formula. This is God speaking, that if the nation of Israel would encounter any number of difficulties, whether it be an invasion, or whether it be a captivity, or it be a sin in the country, or there be a drought, or there be locust, or pestilence, which is another name for disease, that whenever that came, that they would turn, that they would see that as a sign that they needed to turn back to God. And this morning, we're going to be looking at revival. Revival, a turning back to God. But this is the question. What is revival? What is revival? There's a lot of different opinions out there. And many times when you hear about it, you think of revival as well as something that happened a long time ago. It's something that happened back in the 1800s. It happened when George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards preached. It's something that happened a long time ago. It's not really something that happens today. Well, it was something that happened when Billy Sunday was preaching. It was something that when all the taverns closed and everything, everybody got saved, everybody got right with God. Well, that was revival, and it was. However, we look at that and say, well, God chose at that particular time. He chose to use a particular man at a particular time in a particular place, and God just hasn't done that yet. Some people go so far as to say, well, there are going to be no revivals in America because America has gone too far. Well, there's not going to be any revivals anymore because we live in the Laodicean age, and there's no more revival until the Lord comes. And you know what? I want to tell you something. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible says. And let's look at the word revival for a moment, will we? The word revive, if you think of the word revival, revive means to bring back life. And we looked at in the singing today that we looked for a cleansing, that Christ lives in us. But the word revival, let's think of the word revive just for a moment. Where should we get the word revival? Whenever you think of the word revive, maybe you think of someone who's having a medical emergency. That someone, maybe they're not breathing properly or their heart has stopped beating and they're unconscious on the floor, and you have either, you know, CPR or you know someone that does, or the EMS come, and what do? They attempt to revive that person either using the paddles or using CPR and mouth to mouth. What are they trying to do? They are, that person that is lying on the floor is not functioning in a normal manner. They are functioning in a subnormal manner. Either their breathing is abnormal or their heartbeat is either not abnormal or absent. And so what that person is trying to do is trying to bring back, to revive that person into a normal functioning condition. And that is exactly what God wants to do in his church. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 for a moment. In Acts chapter 2, we see in Acts chapter 2 the miracles of Pentecost. We see that was the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, and we see that many were saved in Acts chapter 2. And verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own our tongue wherein we were born? And it gives a list of nationalities. And then we see that Peter begins to preach, and he gives the gospel, and he gives the requirements for salvation. And then in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily and with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We look at that and we say, wow, what a miracle. And we see the sign gifts manifested here. And we would see that this is the coming of the Holy Spirit that Jesus asked the disciples to wait, pray for, that they should wait and wait for power from on high. And it came. And we look at the early church and we look at Stephen and we see his bold preaching and his bold life for the Lord. We see Peter and we see Paul and we see Luke and we see all of these church leaders and we see all of these people and we say, well, that's well and great. That's the Bible. That doesn't happen anymore. That's all well and good, but we don't, that we live in a different time, in a different age. Let's remember something about God. God says, I change not. I change not. So, Pastor, are you saying we should have sign gifts? And no, I didn't say that. That was for that particular age of the church. But what I am saying that this morning, what revival is, it's not some hit and miss thing. It's not something that just happens sometimes and sometimes doesn't happen. What it is, God is wanting to give revival to this church. God is wanting to give revival to the United States of America. God is wanting to bring revival in your life right now. But how do we have revival? Revival is simply this, bringing that which is subnormal to the level of normal. God, what revival is that we are in a subnormal state of spirituality because of sin, because of apathy, because of all the things that go on in our life that distract us. Maybe there's an idol in our life. There were many reasons why Israel departed from God, but all of them boiled down to one thing, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, and that hindered their relationship with God, and they went out and sinned against him, and they were brought into a subnormal condition spiritually, and God brought a judgment upon them to bring them back to himself. So, Pastor, are you saying that this coronavirus is a judgment of God? I can't say that it is, but I don't think anybody can say that it is not. Our nation has been lined up for judgment for a very long time. And I want to put something out to you this morning. We as a nation have thumbed our nose at God for so long, and God has given wake-up call after wake-up call after wake-up call to America, and America has refused to respond. The church has responded for a very short time and then forgets. And right now, what I am calling for as a church, that God's church here at Killeen, Texas, needs to seek God in a way that we have never sought God, perhaps ever in our lifetime. Because we live in unprecedented times. No one that is alive today, unless you're 110, 115 years old, have ever seen anything happen like we've seen happening in America right now. An unprecedented crisis, an unprecedented stoppage of activity, unprecedented actions by our government. And a lot of people are putting themselves, well, Pastor, it's all going to pass. You know, it's all going to go away. You know, eventually we're going to look back on this and laugh. Maybe so, but also maybe not. Are we going to look back at this time, and are we going to say, well, we put trust in the medical profession? I guess I'm telling you right now, medical profession doesn't have an answer right now. All our medical knowledge doesn't really have an answer to what's going on right now. They're people that are dying from this, going into respiratory failure. As well, Pastor, it's not that many people. Well, they said that 2 weeks ago. Now those same people are not saying that anymore. When more and more and more people are getting sick. I don't know if you know this, but looking at the death rate worldwide, it is creeping toward 20%. For people that have come all the way through this virus, that have come all, that have recovered, versus those that have died, worldwide, we're at 18% right now. That's not that high in America, but it's getting up. It was up about 5%. It's now up to almost 10% in America right now. We can't say that, well, this is all going to blow over. We are going to trust, you know, many people have lost their jobs. They're looking for food. The store shelves are bare of necessities. Who would have thought something like this would happen? We know those things, type of things happen when hurricanes come or when disasters come, but to have this happen nationwide is unprecedented. Not since the time of World War II rationing have we ever seen anything like this. But people say, it'll blow over, it'll be okay. You know, we have a trust in this $2 trillion stimulus plan. Yeah, I'm getting a check from the government, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be fine. You know, am I going to be able to take care of my family and everything? If you think the government can take care of you, you're mistaken. If you think that anything trusting in man will always bring a disappointment. And so this morning, I want us to look. We pray for our president, and that's wonderful. But our president thinks that he can fix this. He cannot. I'm so thankful for our vice president, Mike Pence. You know what his response has been? In this whole thing, he is head of the coronavirus team. You know what he does? Every day he seeks the face of God to spare our land. You know why? I'm about to show you why. Let's look here. So now this in 2 Chronicles 7:14. What is the context of this? Turn back to chapter number 6. This is at the dedication of the temple. Solomon's temple, this was the dedication, and we see that there is a prayer that Solomon gives. It is a lengthy prayer. The dedication of the temple was an awesome event with sacrifices and singing and giving glory and praise to God. And Solomon gives a prayer of dedication, and this prayer is a prayer of asking the Lord whenever Israel is in trouble, whether it be by an invading enemy or because that they're not able to stand against their enemies, they face defeat because of sin, that Lord, that we would seek your face and that you would hear us and forgive and give us the victory, that whether there be those that have sinned and done wrong, in the eyes of God, that God would judge between the righteous and the unrighteous, and that God would reward those that do right and would judge those that do wrong. That those that when there ever there was a famine in the land, and I'm going to read here verse number 28, if there be dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be. I think we would understand there's a sickness. Then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when everyone shall know, now this is important, his own sore and his own grief. And there's a synoptic of this in 1 Kings chapter 6. It says the plague of his own soul, his own sin. Sin is a plague that plagues man's hearts and man's souls. And this, what is the answer? And shall spread forth his hands in this house. Then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. This is the prayer of Solomon. I understand that we are not Israel. I understand that. But I think as a nation that in the past has loved God and honored God, and we're a nation that was founded, I believe, by God and by godly principles, that this can be followed by any nation. This is what happened to Nineveh. That Nineveh, God sent Jonah to proclaim judgment. He said, I'm going to destroy this place. Your wickedness is a stench in my nostrils. I'm going to wipe you off the face of the earth unless you repent and turn from your wickedness. And Jonah went in fully. He wasn't a very good evangelist. He went in fully expecting that no one was going to hear. He didn't want them to hear. He just went in and he proclaimed the message. It only proves it's not the messenger, it's the message of God. In that he came and they all repented from the king. It says from the greatest unto the least. They even put sackcloth on their cattle, that they all repented before God. And God said, they have repented and turned to me. I'm not going to destroy them. It's unfortunate. Jonah was mad about that. We don't fully understand that. Jonah needed revival. What we need is revival. Do we need revival in our nation? I think that question does not need to go answered. Absolutely yes. I wonder if this virus is a judgment from God. Is it, why is it so concentrated in New York City? Some people say, well, it's an urban area. It might be that. Or could it be that on January 22nd of 2019, the state of New York issued the Reproductive Act that allowed and sanctioned the murder of born children, and the One World Trade Center was lit up pink as a needle in the face of God, saying we can murder whoever we want to murder. And even to this day, during this particular crisis, Planned Parenthood is still open in the Bronx. It's still open. I checked on it today. They're still open. Actually, they're saying we are seeing a big increase in abortions in New York City because people are scared, and we're open to help them whatever way that we can. New York City is a den of wickedness and vileness. Never been there. It's a place you don't really want to visit again. Is God bringing judgment? I'll let you decide. You read the Word of God and let you decide for yourself. But in any case, if those things happen in a land, what does God tell us to do? To search our heart. We many times pray for revival. Lord, bring revival to America. Lord, bring revival. We want to see people saved. We want to see this happen. Lord, bring revival to America. Bring revival to our state. Bring revival to the churches of America. Bring revival to the church. And there we stop. You know where revival starts? It starts in you. It starts in me. It starts in an individual. The church is not a building. I'm sorry, revival doesn't start in this wall right here. It doesn't start in this piano. It doesn't start in this pulpit. It starts in the heart of people. And I'll say this, as your pastor, our church needs revival. Our church needs revival. We need to stop being busy about and doing the work of God in the flesh, and we need the power of God, and we have lost the power of God in this church. I'm saying that as your pastor. I have lost the power of God as your pastor. We have lost the power of God in this place, but how do we fix it? How do we fix it? And praise God in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. God comes to Solomon and answers, and Solomon made his request, and we know the fire from heaven came down and consumed the sacrifice upon the altar. But again, this is a miracle, and we see in verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Praise God. I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We as God's people need to make sure that we are in a right place with God. Revival is simply casting all of those things that are in our life that ought not be there, all of our sin, and coming to a normal state of spirituality. And we don't see that in the churches in America today. Numbers are down. There is divisions and fightings. I tell you what, I have heard of more church fights and church splits in the last year than I've ever heard of. And people fighting and people bickering and people backbiting and people leaving churches, splitting churches, turning against the pastor, pastors turning against their people. It's unbelievable. We need revival in America today. But I will tell you this. We as a church are on a launching pad that God can bring revival to us. Things are already beginning to happen. The Lord is working in people's hearts and things I can't tell you about right now, but hope to in the future, that God is doing miracles. Things that people never thought would happen in this church are beginning to happen again. Are we going to be a part of that, or are we going to help snuff it out? If you are unwilling to get right with God, you will snuff it out. If you're unwilling to humble yourself, we need some humbleness in our church. We need some humbleness. Are we willing to lay down and say, Lord, I have sinned, and to weep over the sin of our land, and to weep over our personal sin? Have our tears dried and say, Lord God, forgive us, as he said, to lay down and to bring out our hands and to stretch them before God. You understand how Solomon prayed at the dedication? He knelt and he prayed like this. And he said, Lord, forgive us when we call upon you. And God came to him in chapter 7. As I've heard thy prayer, I will forgive and I will heal. I will heal your land. And we can see a healed land. We can see a healed church. We can see healed lives. We can see healed relationships. If we will but humble ourselves, and we will, as his people, he said, well, we'll start doing it when the lost start getting right. Lost people aren't going to get saved until God's people get right. Amen. We're not going to see souls saved. We're not going to see the power of God until who? My people. But here's the big question. If you'll do this, you look at the history of Israel. We see many times that they did, but also many times they did not. They stiffened their neck. And they said, no, we're going to do what we're going to do. And God destroyed them. God put them captive. God brought defeat. But we don't have to have that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Are we willing to bow down before God and say, Lord, it's me. It's me. I'm the problem. I'm the one that's sinning. I'm the one that has done wrong. I'm the one who's apathetic, Lord. I'm the one that has done wrong. I'm the one that has used my mouth in a way it ought not be used. Lord, I'm the one that's gossiped. I'm the one that's destroyed. I'm the one that's backbited, backbitten. I'm the one that has neglected the word of God. I'm the one that hasn't prayed, dear Lord, and the relationship with you has gone astray. It's because of me. Are we willing to? You know, we can say, oh yes, I've confessed my sin. It's real humbling when you got to go to a person and say, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry. Husbands, you need to go to your wife and say, sorry, because I've been involved in pornography, or I've been involved in something I shouldn't be. I've been talking to another woman, and you know what? It's been wrong, and it's been sin. Will you forgive me? Ladies, well, he said, well, I haven't. I've had bitterness and anger against you, and I've never told you, but I want to get it right. Will you forgive me? Well, moms and dads, he said, I've hurt you, children. We have not done right as your parents. Will you forgive us? And will kids go to their parents and say, Mom and Dad, I've been hiding this sin. I've been hiding this problem. I've been disrespectful. I have been rebellious. I have done wrong, and I am confessing my sin to God, but I am confessing my sin to you as my parents. Well, are we humble enough to do that? Most of America isn't. Most of American churches aren't that humble. But we need to be. They shall humble themselves and pray. We're having prayer time this week. But that should not be the only time we pray. We should be praying all day. We should be spending as much time in prayer as the Lord leads us to. By the way, the more time we spend in prayer, the more power of God will descend. And seek my face. You know what? When you just come, Lord, you know, forgive me for my sin. I've done wrong. You know, I don't really know what I've done. That's no prayer of repentance. That's not a prayer. Well, forgive me for all that I did. Say, oh, Lord God, show me what it is. I don't see it. Search me and try me. Oh, we could pray the prayer of David. Purge me with hyssop. Try me. Search me, dear Lord. And we seek the face of God. And you stay on your knees. And you stay on your face until you find him. But why do we need to seek the face of God? Because in your sin, God's face has turned from us. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Man, that's not a popular verse in churches today. I would venture to say a lot of churches in America, a lot of church members don't have their prayers heard because they have secret sin. Secret sin. Guess what? Israel, when they had secret sin, God made it public really quick. Because there was a national calamity that came. We here, as God's people, will we take this opportunity to seek the face of God? What is revival? It is simply this. When Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus was without life, but he gave him life again. He didn't give him superpowers. He didn't give him laser vision and all of that. He just brought him to life again. Whenever we see the word revived used in the scriptures, we see that they were from an abnormal condition, brought them to a normal condition. And what I was going to bring to you here, what we have in America today and in most cultures around the world is what we consider normal is subnormal spirituality. In that when we see someone surrender to go to the mission field, we go, hooray, hurrah, while God must have a special calling upon their life. No, that's just normal. And we see someone go into the ministry and someone dedicate their life to God. And they're on fire for God. And we say, oh, they must have a special gift. God must have a special unction in life. No, that's just normal. But we don't want to see that. You know why? Because being normal, according to God, takes some work. Takes some self-denial. It causes us to mortify some things in the flesh. And guess what? We love our sin, and we love our flesh, and we love our sin, and we love our pet activities, and we love our idols more than we love the living God. Oh, I'm so thankful for a time in America where sporting events are canceled, where the rock concerts are canceled, where the movie theaters are closed, and all of those things, all the things, all the idols that America worships, God has wiped them out. Why? Because a lot of Christians worship them too. And we ought not worship anything except the living God. Now, there's going to be two reactions to this. Are we going to say, Lord, yes, it's me. I want to see revival in my life. And by the way, you know if you need revival or not. Here's a little test. Are you cold spiritually? Does it really matter if you come to church or not? Do you just sing a hymn and say, wow, that's a great hymn? Or does it bring a tear to your eye? Or does it bless your soul? And you sing it to the Heavenly Father up above, and that you have joy. You know what our church is missing? A smile. You know what our church is missing? Joy. We bring in the buses. We teach our Sunday school classes. We do our children's church. But I don't see any joy in anybody's heart. I don't see joy in my heart as I get up here. You know what? I mean, I know I'm screaming and I'm yelling. I'm going to lose my voice this week. I'm just telling you. But I'm excited to be here. I'm joyful to be here, and that's been a little while. What does God need to do to bring us to him? Well, what do? When we seek his face, and then the last part, turn from their wicked ways. We're going to look at that this week. Turn from your wicked ways. You know what things are sin in your life right now? And this week, God's going to point out some others. Are we going to be willing to turn from them as he points them out? Because many times we're in blindness. We don't see it. We see some of it, but we don't see all of it. And as we seek the face of God and seek him more, he's going to reveal more and more and more and more and more. And we're going to have to clean out this week. Are you ready for that? Are you going to cross your arms? I'm not doing that. And I pray for you. Need to pray for one another. There's going to be people that are hardened during this time. We need to pray for soft hearts. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear. Then will I hear. That's a very important phrase. He hadn't heard anything up until this point. They maybe have cried for deliverance. They have cried for God to save their land. He hasn't heard any of it. Why? Until he sees you turn from your sin as a Christian person. He sees that you're serious. Remember what Solomon said in verse chapter number 6. Remember who sees your heart. God does. Oh, he doesn't. He's not in favor of this fakeness at the altar. That you say, well, Lord, forgive me, but you're really not in your heart. You're just going because you're part of the revival in the church and you're going to come forward and you're going to pray and then pastor thinks I'm getting right and then I'm all okay and I'm going to be good. Guess what? It doesn't matter what I think or anybody else. That should never keep us at an altar or from an altar is what people think. It ought to be, Lord, I want to humble myself. You know what the altar is? People say, well, I don't like coming to the altar. You know why? Because it's humbling. It's humbling. Well, I can make a decision in your seat. Well, you should make a decision down there because you're bowing before the God of heaven. So, well, pastor, I don't have an altar at home. You can kneel at your sofa. You can kneel in your seat. You can pull off the side of the road and kneel in a field somewhere. You can find an altar wherever, but we better find one today. The Lord is speaking that I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. They turned from their wicked way. They sought forgiveness from God, and he forgave it and will heal their land, whether it be physically, but really what we need right now is we need a spiritual healing in America right now. We need a spiritual healing. What is it going to take to get our attention? 9/11 got people's attention for a little while. Hurricane Katrina got people's attention for a little while. Hurricane Harvey got our attention here in Texas for a little while. But all that's in Houston. That didn't bother us. God has been speaking. Earthquakes and different things. God's been speaking to America. Oh, we pay attention for a little bit. But now he's stopped it all. Just like God can. I praise God that this nation has stopped in its tracks and has an opportunity. And say, well, we'll let this opportunity pass. I will tell you this. The way America is right now and the sin that is prevalent in America, I believe this is America's last shot. It's the last one before we are destroyed as a nation. Either we will destroy ourselves or God will see to it that we're destroyed by someone else. And trust me, there's a lot of people trying to destroy our nation from the inside right now. That don't want to say, you know, it's amazing that someone can be elected to the Congress of the United States of America, and when our president calls for a national day of prayer, that they send out an expletive-filled tweet about prayer, how we do. I can't even repeat it. I don't want to even mention it here, but that one of these people who claims to be a religious person and just says to expletive about prayer, he says, oh, they weren't downing prayer. Oh, yes, they were. They don't love God. They curse God. They hate God. And they hate where our nation stands for as one of God's, as God's people. But what do we need to do? We need to pay attention. And then when he forgives, verse 50, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now the temple is no more. So, well, this doesn't apply to us. You know where God's temple is now? In the hearts of people. His heart, the hearts of people. Are we allowing him to be in control of our lives? Are we following what he commands us to do? There's a lot we don't know about the commands of God, but there's a lot we do know. Are you doing what you do know right now? Doesn't matter how long or how short you've been saved. You know what God wants to do. Are you doing it right now? So, no, I'm not. Then you need revival. No, I'm not doing that. Then you're in a subnormal state of spirituality, and you need to be revived. I'll tell you something here in testimony, and then I'll close. What does it take to get someone's attention? Well, I'll tell you what it took to get for God to get my attention. It took traveling halfway across the world and being at the top of a mountain in Papua New Guinea to get my attention. To be in a place where there's much spiritual oppression. I've shared this with some of you, but not the whole thing. And I get there and I completely collapse in every way. Emotionally, physically. And I'll never forget that I was in top one of those mountains, and one of those mornings I was out praying, and I was praying, and God said, what is going on? What is going on? And I bow down in a ball on the ground. And I weep, and I'm shaking. I say, Lord, what is it? And as if a voice from heaven said, are you tired of your way yet? I brought you here to this place to show you it's not about you. It's about me. It's about what I want you to do. I brought you here to break you. And he did. And during those days, the last week I was there, I spent a lot of time with the Lord. Spent a lot of time praying. Made a lot of things right in my life that were not right at that time. Made a lot of decisions. Then I came back and a lot of things began to happen. A lot of busyness. A lot of things. My mom's funeral. My dad coming to live with us. A lot of things. And I pushed those things off to the side. Last week, God reminded me of those decisions that I had made. It took going halfway around the world and bringing me to the end of myself. And the day after that, I was to preach. I was a mess. I probably preached the worst sermon I have ever preached in all my life. But I prayed. And I stood behind the pulpit, literally shaking. I said, Lord, I can't do this. I almost looked over the missionary. I said, you preach. I can't do this. But I said, Lord, I'm going to try, but you're going to have to do it. I preached a horrible, terrible message. I preached a gospel message. It was the worst message I ever preached. But then again, 4 people got saved. The Lord showed me, it's not about you. It's me. And this morning, I've done a lot of hooting and hollering and crying, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to cry a lot this week. I'm going to let you know. I'm an emotional person, but this is serious. I'm going to do a lot of hooting and hollering and everything, but guess what? The power of God is not in hooting and hollering. It's not. The power of God is not my emotion. The power of God is not my words. It didn't matter if I screamed them or if I spoke them quietly. The power of God is in his word. The power of God is in his Holy Spirit. And will you, as his people, who are called by his name, you're called Christians, will you humble yourself, seek the face of God, turn from your wicked ways, and he will hear. You will hear the prayers, and you will begin to see the wondrous works of God. You will see relationships restored. You'll see bitterness let go of, anger repented of. You will see miracles happen in this place. And then we as a church will have the power of God, and we are preparing ourselves. This next week is not an evangelistic revival, but there might be some people in the church that need to be saved. But it is a time where we come together and we pray and seek the face of God, and we re-energize so that we can go out and win a lost world to Christ. Don't let this time pass you by. So this morning, as I close, what is revival? Are you subnormal today? I was. I'm still striving, I'm praying, and I prayed very fervently for this message that the Lord would touch hearts with it. I pray that it has. But a decision needs to be made. Are we going to get on board this morning? Are we going to say, Lord, and say, well, I don't have anything wrong in my life. Are you willing to be humble enough to ask the Lord? And by the way, when we're humble enough to ask, he answers. And he'll show you where there's an area that may seem so small, but it's hindering your relationship with him, or hindering your relationship with a spouse or with a child or with a parent or with someone, a friend or someone in the church. It's hindering. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to surrender all to him and follow the formula? What is going to happen? Is God going to answer our prayer? We can't tell what God will do. Let's just do right and leave the rest up to him.